but I am always really nervous, so thank you for letting me vent and shoot the shit for a second.
Fine?
I don't know why. Like, when he, it's just like, without that buffer, it's weird.
No, I get it. I mean, like, I look at it as a thing where, you know, everybody's got, like, their best friend, and then they've got, like, their best friend's friend, and when the best friend leaves the room and it's you and the other friend, that, like, you know each other.
Yeah, I'm before, like, Brooks, never alone. I'll do it solo. Yeah. I don't care.
No, but I get it. I'm not saying he's the best friend, but, like, I feel like when you lose, like, that third person dynamic, you're like, what do we do?
Yeah, what's the first step again?
What's your favorite color? It's weather outside is weather.
Yeah, right. Life is life thing.
Yeah.
So 2024 feels like it should already almost be over.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok the other day, and it was just like, January has 2,227,000 days in it. I was just like, yeah. It's like, I don't know who you are, man. It's just this dude on his piano, and he's just like singing happily, but like the lyrics are depressing as fuck.
They're
and
very
his wife,
sad.
And his wife is just sitting in front of him, just like, yeah, this is, fuck this. What is January? And
there's,
I was like,
a
yeah, man,
girl
you nailed it.
Did one. She was like, so how's your 2024 been? And somebody in the background goes, we still have 11 months left. And she's like, fuck.
It's something, man. I can't say I remember feeling like this in any past January. And I don't know if it's just like, you know, the times or like, you know, the point I'm at in my life. I'm like, but I'm looking around. I'm like, everybody else kind of feels like this is bullshit too. I'm like, all right. So.
I think the impending election, I try not to talk about politics on the show, but I think we all know. By about January, there's this onslaught of like negative ads, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we're all just bracing.
I'm looking at this, and like for the first time ever, and I get it. If you want to air any of this, it's fine. But like for the first time ever, I'm like, okay, the two party system is bullshit. Like we got.
I've always thought
one.
The two party system was
yo
bullshit.
Like. It, up until about 6 months ago, I was like, all right, listen, we just gotta vote, you know, vote blue no matter what. Like, not screaming it like that, but I'm like, shit, that's just like, that's what we gotta do. Cause like, lesser two evils are, and then I'm looking at this and I'm like, they both suck. I'm like, I forget who it was, but you know, one person was like, you know why like Trump is so successful and why, you know, the right loves him so much? Cause he like, for the most part, just like speaks his fucking mind and like you can see him for what he is versus like you look at guys like what basically Democrats all around. They say a bunch of things and then they do all these other things that are kind of insidious. And you're like, well, but you said you weren't going to do that. And you said you were going to do these things. And then you are doing those things. You're not doing these things. Like, what the fuck are you doing over here? You know, and like,
they're
I look
evil.
At this. And, yeah, no, they all are. Like, I saw an interview with AOC who like
Matt,
I love.
For the love of God,
and,
please don't vote for Trump. Just
No. But like I'm watching her and I'm like, all right, cool. And they're asking about like very topical things. I'm like, all right, sweet. And like, she's dancing around the answer. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? I'm like, what did they promise her or what did they hold over her or both? And like the more, I guess, you know, I learn about how politics actually work, which I feel like it's like partially like, you know, the age, and it's partially the times we're in, and partially just like we hit this age and you're like, shit, I got to start like peeling back the layers. I'm like, all right. So they're all shit. They're all varying levels of shit. Both sides, like, you know, like maybe some of them start off fiery and like, you know, and hold on to some of that, but like eventually. Something either gets held over them, good or bad, and then you kind of like watch them get muted. And I was watching this interview, and I was like, "What the fuck is this? Like, this sucks." So anyway, that's a depressing start.
Happy
though.
I'll make it. You know, fuck it. I don't know. I try not to do politics on the show because it's so divisive, and I want people to come here and listen to your music and listen to all the music. But at the same time, like, it's just like to the point where it can't be avoided anymore.
Yeah, and listen, like, if you want to edit anything, you know, it's your show, right? So, like, do what you want to do. But, like, you know, I think I will say this, and you can figure out what you want to do with any of this. But like, you know, while I agree that, like, music should be a place where people can come together, generally speaking, like, it's also been used to, like, lift up other voices and call out the bullshit that's going on in the world. But I digress.
We have started this off real strong. So to the people who are still listening, this might be why we need Brent. Because he would have already been like, we're done.
Yeah, I feel like he would have squashed us.
You can't let Raynell off the leash a little bit, because I'm angry lately. So
speak the truth. Anyway, yeah, we can talk about music.
Let's do that. So I want to again apologize that the sound was so messed up on that interview with
that's
Artemis.
Not your fault. Like that.
You would think that I would have the capability to fix it. And if you knew how long I spent on YouTube and Google trying to figure it out, and I was finally like,
"Nah, you can't." So for what it's worth, like I went to school to be an audio engineer. I clearly didn't end up using that. But
I know you probably use it. I think you use it.
Well, I mean, I use it with my music, but right. The idea at the time was like, I'll go to school to like be an engineer and make money that way. But for what it's worth, like in my experience, when you have a bad audio signal, there's only so much you can do. Like you can cut out a bunch of low end. Like when you have spectrums of the audio channel itself, there's nothing you can do, because all you can do is take away things. You can't put back stuff that, you know, clearly isn't there. So when I heard that, I was like, oh shit.
Now that we've shot the shit and we haven't talked about anything we were supposed to talk about, again, welcome back to the show. I'm going to try to keep us a little more like, to the point, which is easier to do when Brent's not cracking jokes, but it's probably less entertaining to listen to. I am not as funny as y'all's Uncle Brent.
Sorry,
unless I'm drinking, I'm hilarious. I think.
I mean, there was the comment of wine, so I don't know. Maybe it is worth revisiting.
No, I feel like that'll fuck up the long COVID healing process, so I'm not going to do it.
That's the smart play. All right, we're good. I mean, listen, like it'll be a slightly darker podcast. Let's do it.
Hey, you know what? The stranger things have happened. Like I've had people on here that I was like, I'm not going to get anything from this, and gotten 1,000 downloads, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then I get nothing on the next 4 or 5 people, and I'm just like, I don't understand the algorithm. It would be helpful if it stopped changing every 3 days.
Yeah,
it's the same with TikTok, Instagram, with all the streaming platforms. I don't know what the magical combination is. Like, what do I need to put in the cauldron? And now I've decided it doesn't matter. We're just going to manifest the best.
I'm with that. I'm in the process of trying like a multitude of different things on TikTok, and I'm just like, all right, well, the people who showed up seem to like it, and that's cool, but like, it's still, I'm not going wide on much. Like every like 40th or 50th post.
Yeah, I'm getting about 200, and then like at random it'll be like 1,000 plus, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in common when that happens with those two videos or with those two podcast episodes. There'll be like different genres. Yeah. It makes no sense. So if you're out there trying to promote your music, don't feel bad. We have no idea what we're doing. No one fucking does. You're not alone.
I'm working on it. I'm watching all the content creators tell me what I should be doing. I'm trying out a bunch of shit. There are a handful of things that have worked, but man, it's like how many posts can I do with like text on the screen being like, congratulations, you just found, because like,
that's
pretty much
what I'm doing.
it works to reel people in, but like it doesn't give like, you know, it's nothing's giving me that like breakout post or anything. And now I'm just like, well, I've got like 4,000 followers on TikTok. I'm like, I'm just gonna focus on more.
4,000. I haven't even. Oh my god.
Yo, like honestly, if you go and look on my TikTok page, currently about 2/3 of my posts are the same text on the screen, right? Which is like what we, you know, it's like outward facing marketing, where it's like, you know, I'm gonna bring people from the outside in. And those posts with the text on the screen saying like, congratulations, you just found an unknown indie artist, and some other stuff, and like, you know, for fans of, like, that usually gets me somewhere between like 10 and 30 followers per post. And it's just me looking at the camera, like waving, like I might be doing something with a guitar, but, and then there's a song playing in the background, and then that's it. And then about 1/3 of the posts are me actually talking to, you know, the people who come back and like, oh, you know, this is where I got the song title from. And, you know, this is what this song is about. And here's a recording process, or like, here's me randomly yelling about the new headphones I got today, like shit like that. But it's like, you know, me being a person, right? And trying to, you know, trying to show like, you know, what I'm up to, even if it's just like I'm driving in the car and yelling about how I wish there was a coffee maker, you know, right there in my dashboard. Some people do find it entertaining. Like that's how I got that. So now that I have 4,000, I'm like, this is a solid base. Let me try to talk to these people who thought, you know, like, hey, I like music enough to follow this artist and see if I can, you know, like actually kind of get that going. Because if I post, and every time I post, I get to 200 people, but it's not 200 people who are following me. I'm like, well, how do you bring
them in?
Yeah.
I want to hit the 1,000 mark, and I'm not anywhere near it. I was late to the TikTok game, though. We were late to the TikTok game.
Same, yeah, so, yeah.
And there's a zillion other podcasts, which is also another thing. But nobody like us, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, I want to get to 1,000 so I can start doing live stuff. Because I think that's where you get them and keep them. But you have to have so much of a number before you can do that. Like, you can do that now.
Yeah.
I can't.
Maybe try doing that text on the screen, you know, like, but towards like the
podcast.
I'll keep it up.
I needed that little break. We all had a break, I think. Do we have any new Artemis and Brooks collabs coming up?
So we just released, like a week ago, Please Hold, which is, it's like his song. And he was like, hey, you know, do you want to do some stuff on here? So like, there's like some minor, instrumentation that I added to it. And then like, I had my own verse. Which, like, we recorded the song, I don't know, like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, like a while ago. And it had just kind of sat there. And I was never really, like, wild about my verse. I'm like, I don't know. Because, like, the subject material, again, like, I don't rap. So when I do rap, I feel like it kind of has to be, like, not an aggressive performance. But, you know, it's got to be like, it's got to have like some fuel, some fire behind it in terms of like the lyrical content. I'm like, well, how angry can I be being on hold? And you can get very angry, but like me personally, I was like, I don't know. And went through a couple of iterations of that verse and sent it back to him. And he was like, this is what you got to do. And he was like kind of coaching me. I was like, hey, this is cool. It's kind of new. And got it to a place where he liked it. And then we just sat on it. And he was like, hey, you know, I'm going to think about putting it out as a single. And I was like, dude, do you like this? Like, I, you know, cause we're at that point now where I'm like, well, in my mind, right? I'm like, well, maybe he's just being nice. You know, he's trying to help me out, right. Trying to give me a platform, right?
Right.
I'm like,
he's kind. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, dude, I am kind of uncomfortable with it. I feel like it's not the best. And he's like, well, if you don't like it, we don't have to put it out. I was like, but this is where I want you to tell me. Do you like it? I was like, cause I like, he raps all the time. I was like,
you're like, you can just take my verse out. I'm good with it.
It actually, like, he showed me a version. He's like, so here's what it would sound like without. He's like, but dude, I really liked what you did. And I was like, well, if you're sure of it. So then he sends me back a mix where he put me back in. And I had some additional instrumentation. And he put, I'm like, you think I would have thought of this, a telephone EQ on my whole verse. And I listened to it and I was like,
damn, that's genius.
I was like, oh, this sounds way better now. Yeah. He's like, I wanted to play to your character. Because, like, that's how he thinks about, you know, a lot of these songs are, like, they're playing a character. And, like, whenever I do my own songwriting, like, for the Books of York stuff, it's really about things that have happened to me. And usually, like very depressing things. And so I had to get in this mindset of, like, a character. I'm like, oh, that's fucking brilliant, man. And so when I heard it, I was like, oh, I like this now. This is great. He's like, all right, sweet. He's like, let's put it out. And so anyway, did that. I'm going to be doing another remix album, or like 7-song album. So I don't know. It's like, it's an album by Spotify standards. But for me, 7 songs is like this kind of in between area. I have like 4 of them in the works right now. It's probably going to be like a May or June thing. But there's a handful of singles that we have that are either done or about to be done. And so we'll just kind of see where that goes. But yeah, there's a handful of things that are in the works for both of us. So, and I think he's working on Chaos 2, and I'll likely be on some of those songs.
Yeah. I see. I like it when you guys work together. You really complement each other well.
he's working on his Ghost Servo project, which is more like serious music, like really synth forward, like not industrial, but kind of like with some of those.
That way. Yeah.
Yeah. So like his song Middle, that's what he calls like his Ghost Servo of, I guess like genre. And that's what the whole Ghost Servo song stuff is going to be. And I was like, dude, I want to be on.
Yeah, you're like, I want that. Taking me back to the 90s, Artemis.
That his song Middle is probably my favorite song of his. And I'm just like, I want to do more of that. But we'll see where that goes. But yeah, so there, yeah. There are more things. I'm excited.
Well, let's jump into one of the songs that you sent me, which I've heard most of your stuff.
I appreciate that.
We're going to start with Snow Bear. It's just really pretty. And it has like a Coldplay vibe to me. But
oh, cool.
That buildup and the bridge. Could you elaborate on your writing process on that? It's just about the middle. And you did this on a couple of your songs where there's this, you think it's like the sweet song and then it slowly builds towards the middle and it goes up and it's so nice and then it just sort of stays there.
It depends what you consider to be, cause I've had this conversation with a couple people and they're like, okay. Oh yeah, like the chorus on Snow Bear. For me, the chorus on Snow Bear is like, there are two very loud sections and that's the chorus, but other people, it's what I think is the bridge, which is right before the chorus or my chorus. So I'm like, shit, which part are we talking about?
I think I'm talking about because it builds. A lot of your songs do that. They kind of, which is funny because that's how my stuff is. I start it and you're like, oh, and then like I just keep adding shit to it. And
yeah.
You seem to do the same thing. Like it's like you're playing with musical Legos.
In my head,
I'm like, okay, I need to stack this here now.
Yeah.
It's like audio Legos. That's all I got.
I dig it. I always think of it in layers. So, whenever I repeat a part, I'm like, okay, I'm either going to add some layers to this, right? To like create renewed interest. And at first I was like, this is a tactic that I want to do just to keep people interested. And then like I started doing it and I was like, well, I don't want to hear the same thing. So I want to add more layers to this. But, if it's a part I'm thinking of, you want to talk about like the writing process?
Yeah.
So, like that song was one of the few songs I did, in an actual studio. So I worked with Sam, to varying degrees on every one of these songs. And I write a lot while I'm recording, which for him was kind of like, so you're going to come in the studio without a fully written song. I was like, oh, we're going to flesh it out like while we're there. So there was a lot of just like, hey, you know, loop those 8 or 16 bars and I'm going to, you know, cause I had like the foundation, right? But I didn't have like the secondary lines or lead lines from a guitar standpoint or even the keys. So I'd work all that stuff out, in process, but it's gotten to a point now where, I just loop it and then I play along to it. And early on, Sam would be like, hey, like, this is cool. You have some notes that are creating too much tension and they're actually clashing right here and right here. Mm-hmm. And so we go through and flesh that out. I spend enough time working with him now where like now I start to think, okay, what would Sam say?
What would Sam say, right?
Yeah. No, because like he's an incredible producer. But I mean, a lot of that is just like looping it over and over again and going, okay, what can I add? What can I add? Even if it's just like whole notes here. If you break down a lot of what I do, I almost always use vibes, like a vibraphone, and there will be like either whole or half notes, that I'll add in there. And it's just, I don't know, it's chimey. It's pretty. It goes really well with my guitar tones. I feel like they're very complimentary, but, I also try to like, for most of my stuff that is softer, I try to play the guitar less like a guitarist and more like just how can I make this prettier? Cause I've had people go like, what like keys patch is that? And I was like, that's all guitar. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask. See, Brent would have, that was a Brent question that I missed that Brooks heard. He was like, what would Brent ask us? Cause he'd have picked up on that. He'd have been like, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it like pretty often. So now I'm just like, oh, in times like this, I kind of try to talk about it. Cause like for me, for the first time, you know, somebody said that to me, they were like, oh, I thought that was a keys patch. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, but you know, I also recognize that like, I don't play guitar like a conventional guitarist. And for a lot of reasons, cause I can't, but you know, play to your strengths, I guess. I don't know if that answered your question, but that's my rant.
Learn to bide my time while I discover. Breathe it in and fight it out, begin again. Patience and reason. Impulsive and erratic undercover. Always wishing I had so much more to give. To monuments that love. Had to live.
Wayward bound, the light to the unknown, at our expense.
missing links where love and lies collide. Now the silence fills what you got it.
How would you describe your sound to somebody who hadn't heard it before? I'm trying new questions, Brooke.
Yeah,
sorry.
No. I'm with you. I mean, like, I try to, like, answer things as succinctly as possible because, like, I don't have a long attention span. So in the early days or, you know, the first, like, year or two of Books of York, I submitted my stuff to get reviewed. And there's this writer, Amelia Vandergast. Okay. I think I'm saying her name right. And in one of the, she wrote two pieces on me. And in one of those, she described my sound as indie dream pop. And I saw that and I was like, yeah, cause like it's indie, but like indie can mean so many different things. And it's certainly poppy, but the dream element for me was like, yeah, it is kind of dreamy or mostly dreamy at times, like whether that's a good or a bad thing. I was like, that's great. I'm using that.
So you've been at this music thing for a while. It can be easy to lose the inspiration and the drive and to get discouraged. How do you keep that from happening?
So it has happened a handful of times. I mean, Brooks of York is really the reincarnation. It probably isn't it, but like it was really me understanding that if I don't play music, if I don't write music, like I become the worst version of myself. So with this project, as much as I want this thing to take off, as much as I want this thing to even just like break even, right, where I can make music and it pays for itself, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I recognize that like I've got to make music in order to not lose my mind, and at this point, like just be a decent human being to the other human beings who are in my immediate vicinity, my kids and my spouse.
That is, I think, something a lot of artists can understand.
Yeah, but prior to Brooks of York, I took almost 3 years off and like, was not a very good person. So when I started to come back to it, one of the things that I worried about, because like prior to that, I was in bands, right? Mm-hmm. You do the band thing, you've got to go
and
to rehearsal.
And that was an outlet, yeah.
Yeah, but like you've got to go to rehearsal, which is not in your home, right? It takes time to get there. You've got to be there for a few hours for it to be worth it. You got to pay for the rehearsal spot. You got to lug gear. You got to pay for all this gear. And it got to a point, right? You know, where it was really starting to take a toll, like on my relationship with my spouse. And when I started like writing and recording music again, it was kind of me like looking over my shoulder going like, is this okay? She's like, no, you're good. Like, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You're doing it. And I'm, you're a happier person. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you know, and like she saw and understood that I think well before I did. You know, it's really nice to come back to it. And cause like for me, it felt like I'd stopped playing music for much longer than 3 years. But it's gotta be there.
Yeah. And how do you fight writer's block? Because we all get it. And when we're under a lot of stress, such as late stage capitalism, it can become hard. It can become hard to really put it out there. It's like for me, and yeah, listeners, I'm asking for me, I can get like the first verse and I can write, like I've got like the general beat line and the harmonies. And then that's like, it's like the brain shuts down. It's because there's all of this. So how do you deal with that, especially as a parent?
Sure.
Because then you have all of that.
I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I'm going to try it. Yeah. I've had people ask me, they're like, how did you know that like she was the one? Like, how did you know this person was going to be your partner? And I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I saw her. Feelings, butterflies, drive, pull. It was like just unlike anything else I'd ever felt. I was like, gotta go after that.
Y'all are lucky, by the way.
Yeah, no.
Blessed.
100%. You know, when I think about like, you know, writer's block, for me, I kind of try to like turn that around and I try to recognize, okay, in this moment, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I need to go pick up a guitar or sit in front of my keyboard because there's like a certain urge that comes about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, inspiration, creativity, like call whatever you want. But I'm like, I got to go do that. And more often than not, I'm in a spot where I can. And I've learned through a lot of trial and error, like, not to force the whole thing out, right? So, like, when you're talking about, like, oh, I get, like, a verse down, or, like, you know, maybe, like, a part and a half down, I kind of know inside 5 minutes of trying to write the next part to this when I need to stop. And because, like, there was a time, like, prior to quitting music for, like, 3 years, where I would sit down in front of my computer with my guitar, and I would just be like, I would get the inspiration, write the thing, and then try to force the chorus, force the bridge. And I would be there for hours, and I would get to the point where I would be falling asleep with my guitar in hand.
And you're just frustrated enough. What's happening?
Yeah. And so, you know, I finally, like, one night was just, you know, doing the Books of York thing. I was like, I don't have that much time anymore. So it's like, you know, whatever I can get out and work, I'm cool. Got it. And I just kind of, like, learned to recognize where that is. And then I just come back to it when I can. Working with Artemis has provided a lot of inspiration, but I've also used things like Arcade, when doing remixes for him, which fill in a lot of the gaps. So if you or anybody else who's listening to this needs, you know, something to kind of, like, fill those gaps or give you extra inspiration, like Arcade by Output, I hope one day, like, I get endorsed by them. But, like, it's wonderful. Even if you haven't used it, if you just, like, go on YouTube, like, you'll hear people talking about it in a similar manner. Like, it's amazing because they, you know, you can just go ahead and use that shit. Like, the truth is, like, a lot of the sample kits they have, it's a full song. So I try not to use the full song. So I'm like, that feels.
Yeah, there's something I use that's kind of like that.
Yeah. So, like, that for me has been great for the remixes, because I'm like, all right, sweet. Like, this is like the modern age of using samples. And now I'm like, oh, I get why people do this. Like, this is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But it's also a different way to look at music. So while I don't really do that a ton in my own music, that has provided, like, a different kind of outlet when working with Artemis and approaching things from a remix standpoint.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being just incredibly ADHD, you know, start one thing over here, hit a roadblock, and I'm like, all right, well, I still have some time. What can I work on? You know, if I can't do, like, a TikTok emo cover, I'm like, all right, something for Artemis in this realm. And I've started working with a couple other artists. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me just come over and touch that and see, listen to it and go and see if I get any kind of inspiration. Even if it's just, like, let me balance out a level or go, that right there doesn't work. Let's just get rid of it. Like, there's, I feel like with the amount that I have on my plate, there's always some kind of progress to be made. So if you can recognize when you hit a wall and just stop, do that. Like, watch a shitty movie or take a walk or go to bed. Yeah, you know,
maybe you're just
whatever.
Tired. I'm always tired. So.
I mean, like, I think, like, if an artist can recognize when they've hit a wall and just walk away from it, that's what has worked the best for me. Cause then I don't get burnt on that thing. Like, I'm so frustrated when I walk away, but then I have all that time, you know, back that I didn't just waste and go, like, let me just put, like, four chords together. This sucks. Because the following day I listen to it and I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, long answers.
No. That's okay. We're used to it. So let's talk about another song. Let's talk about Oh My Robot. I love the guitar in the beginning of that.
Thank you.
The drums at 240, when the drums kick in at about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, are just, oh, so good. Tell us about that song.
So Oh My Robot. So the title comes from my eldest, who at the time was working with some clay, and he was creating, like, a figure out of it, and it all fell apart. He goes, oh, my robot. And he was like three and a half. And at the moment it was like, oh, yeah, that sucks. Like, the thing fell apart. But it was also, like, one of those, like, very innocent, useful, like, cute moments where I was like, oh, that's like really wholesome. I'm going to write that down. The lyrical content is about trying to create life, you know, get pregnant and, like, stay pregnant, and then dealing with that on the fence. Is it going to work this time? Is it not going to work this time? And the feelings that kind of swirl around that. There's a line in there about, like, little feet that aren't here yet. And, like, I kind of liken that to if you've ever had a cat and, you know, the cat, like, rounds the corner, and then eventually the cat isn't there anymore, right? But you still see that fucking cat round the corner, mm-hmm. right? And they're not there anymore, which first time I experienced that, I was like, what is going on? But it's a similar concept where like you're anticipating them being here, and we would be looking around at our two existing children and feeling like there should be somebody else here and they weren't, and like looking for them, this person that, you know, had never been here, you know, in the outside world yet. So that's kind of what that line is about. And at the time that I was writing and recording that, because I apparently write and record at the same time, you know, she was pregnant. It did not work out, and shit was super sad. So I actually didn't listen to that song for a long time, until the other child, which brought another child with it, two children came at the same time, and then I could listen back to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was like, I was like super happy, but also like, oh man, I'm going to be so tired. And I am very tired. Yeah. I mean, the like writing that song or trying to record that song was tough because I wrote that part on acoustic guitar. I had to play it on acoustic guitar. And anybody who's ever played acoustic guitar but really plays electric guitar, it's like, I got to go in and like nail this performance on acoustic guitar that I don't play all the time.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I got hip checked real hard. Sam was looking at me like, are you okay? I was like, I'm going to lay down this as a scratch track. It's going to be played in time to the grid. We're going to get all the other stuff going, and I'm going to come back for a second session and nail the acoustic part. He was like, okay, we can do that. And because it was one of the first times he looked at me like, you are not playing this well. This is bad. But that's a large reason why the majority of the other guitar parts are electric. So I was just like, we're not gonna, this is not gonna be a fully acoustic song. And so like when the bridge hits, you know, there's other things going on. And I think I broke the bridge entirely on electric guitar.
Every day is another.
So weird without Brent. I can't.
It's okay. I'm having a good time.
I'm good. Like, I'm glad.
It could be a different podcast. It could be a shorter podcast.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Brent, get better. Jeez, take some emergency.
Yeah.
That's it. It's probably like, shut up, bitch. Last year you were awful. So who are you listening to these days?
You know, I don't listen to a lot of music, which translates into I don't listen to enough music. I've started doing, I've only done two. I've got a third one that I'm hopefully going to put out tomorrow, but I started doing emo covers on TikTok
where
I'm
just trying to pull that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to pull them into like completely different spectrum, like more my sound. But as I like mess with it, I'm like, I don't even know if this is my sound. This is a different. But in doing so, I have like asked people like, hey, like, what do you want to hear? And I've had a handful of things that like I've never heard of. And one today was a band called Mineral. And the guy was like, I was like, cool. Like, this is great homework. And he's like, wait, you really don't know who this is?
No idea who that is either.
I'm not going to bullshit you. Like, no, I don't know. He's like, oh, I'm the only like sad Midwest emo boy. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go listen to it. Like this would be cool.
It's called what? Mineral?
It's called Mineral. Yeah, it's spelled regular. I listened to like one song before I got pulled into a different direction, but from 1998 or maybe before. And I was like, I don't know if this is. I was like, is this emo? I was like, is that the? But like maybe it's like the predecessor of, or maybe I just don't have my timelines right. But it sounded like a more modern Nirvana almost. There was like some grunge elements to it. I was like, this is kind of cool. Like, again, it was one song. I didn't get to listen to the rest of it. But I have like 10 songs where I'm like, I don't know who this is. But then somebody was like, you know, what about Something Corporate? And I was like, I should go back and listen to them. So like, I've been listening to a lot of like, you know, early 2000s, you know, emo or like, you know, emo adjacent music lately. Yeah, I was trying to think like it's like stuff that can be emo but isn't necessarily it. Like when I think of Something Corporate, like I don't think emo, I think like more like pop rock of that era, but maybe I'm wrong. But I had enough people with Something Corporate. I'm like, okay, maybe there's
Something
shit.
Corporate? And then there's, I'm sorry, can you
repeat that? Yeah, something. So the band name is Something Corporate. Are you familiar with Jack's Mannequin?
No.
Oh, all right. So I was just going to be like, well, that's he went on
that's
to do
okay.
A solo project.
Okay, I need new stuff. Something Corporate.
And then was it? Oh shit! What do they call it? Ocean Avenue. Which I think most.
That one sounds familiar.
Yeah. But for me, it was like, so I think of them, and I'm like, that's like more pop punk. And then a bunch of people were like, My Chemical Romance. I'm like, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
So I've gone back and listened to them. So I'm working on a Helena cover. Or Helena? I always pronounce it Helena. It's probably wrong. But yeah. So it's been mostly a lot of like older stuff. I mean, I was listening to Genesis and Phil Collins the other day, mostly just to like figure out like, hey, what should I be covering? Cause I get so many people being like, you do sound a lot like Phil Collins. I'm like, all right, well. But yeah, so I've been listening to like, you know, early 2000s, like I guess, you know, some Phil Collins and Genesis, lately. I have been listening to Somnotect, which I did.
Always.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I was listening to the Manchester Orchestra. Again, like just trying to find like songs to cover.
Let's talk about Imagining.
Sure.
We talked about this before on the show, but just remind our listeners about it.
Yeah, so it was another, you know, kind of I wanted to do another like acoustic-esque type song. That song in particular, I wrote for my wife, and it was, I wanted to do a love song, you know, not like a love song, but like I wanted to do a song that, you know, showed her that I loved her, and yes, the reasons why, but also recognize that she loved me despite all this shit that, like, you know, I need to work on as a person, as a parent, and, you know, and as a partner. Cause that for me, at least at this point in my life, is like, that's invaluable, right? When I kind of like put that together, and, the line is, it's the way you separate me from the things that complicate me. And, it was one of the few times where, like, I was writing lyrics and I was like, yeah, like that's it. That's, yeah.
That's
like, I'm still super proud of that line. Like, they, you know, I try not to have filler lyrics, cause I fucking hate it. Even though, like, you know, the best acts have it, nobody gives a shit. But, like, just for me personally, I was like, and in a song that's going to be about her, I'm like, I gotta, like, I'm meticulous with all of them. But for that one in particular, I'm like, all right, just none of this can be like, it's all gotta be, at least for me, right? Like, it's one of those things where I was like, when and if she sits down and looks at these lyrics, I want, like, her to know. So yeah, I mean, the song lyrically, you know, that's what it's about. And I think, it's been really interesting. I guess, like, not the people who listen to my stuff are like my age, a little bit younger and a little bit older, right? So, like, you know, hovering around like 35 to like 50. And it's been really interesting because, like, I view TikTok as a young person's, you know, platform.
Yeah.
So I just kind of assumed that I was going to pick up like a bunch of younger people, like kind of by default, which in hindsight, it's like, no, that's dumb. Cause like music I'm writing is influenced by heavily by people, you know, from like 20, 30 years ago. So like I'm getting people on there, and when I go on and talk about this stuff, they're like, that's really cool. I like that. Like, and it hits like a different level. And I think, not that like somebody who's in their 20s like wouldn't be able to understand, you know, that line or like the sentiment behind it, but I think it does resonate with people who are, you know 40-ish, you know, above and slightly below. From a musical standpoint, that was the first song that I used any kind of sampling on. It was the first time I messed with Arcade, and like it's there, it's in the background, it's like super mellow. Acoustic guitar with electric guitar, but there's a fair amount of synth work, which was really fun. But I think that song, I don't use any real drums, so it's all either like samples or which is electronic stuff that's in there. So it was fun to put together. But it's one of my shorter songs, and it was the first time for me that I was like, maybe I should write slightly shorter stuff. I was also thinking about it from the standpoint of, like, you know, if I'm going to force my wife to listen to a song, she doesn't have a ton of time to do it. So I was like,
right, she's a busy lady.
Yeah, I was like, so whatever it is, like 220 or 215, I was like, that's good. It's good. We're good. Perfect. I don't have to make this any longer. A lot of Dashboard influence on that, at least like when I listen to it from a guitar standpoint. I'm like, all right, that's kind of where my head's at. But yeah.
Cover me in your warm night and push me to be so much more than I try. It's not new, but it feels like every time when you touch me, I fly. It's the words separate me from the things that complicate me. Changes more time. Meeting sooner or creating further hours in the day to entwine. I couldn't stop if I wanted. It's the way you separate me from the things that complicate me.
advice for artists new on the scene right now?
In terms of like writing or social media or recording?
What do you think's more helpful right now?
If you're a musician or an artist and you don't have, like, you know, two or three songs that you polished up to some degree, like that's probably step one. As long as you have your stuff out there on like every platform, and then DistroKid or CD Baby is a great way to do that, then it, you know, get your ass onto TikTok and start putting yourself out there. I'm still figuring that part out, but I feel like I've gotten a lot more comfortable being in front of the camera and talking, and then kind of trying to be myself and less be like a character, you know, or like be like this thing I think people want me to be. And that's been pretty freeing, but I try to post like 2 to 3 times a day, and some of the stuff pokes through the algorithm and gets me some good responses and followers. I have seen my Spotify listener count. Our follower count go up, which, like,
oh,
you know,
that's
yes,
great.
It's like I want the listener count to go up, yes, but like it won't, like one doesn't go up without the other, like retention in terms of, like, you know, people coming back and listening and being like actually liking it. Like, you got the one listen, but did they follow you? Did they like you enough to say like I want to come back, I want to remember this, you know, I want to flag this for later. And utilizing TikTok has helped me a lot in that way. Like the last 2 months, each month I've garnered about 100 new followers on Spotify, which I haven't done before. And like a lot of that's working with Artemis Wall. So like on that note, I would say, yeah, and this is a tactic I think a lot of people have employed, right? But if you can find somebody with about the same fan base or more as you, and then try to collaborate with them so that you can kind of like utilize each other's base of listeners, right? Like you expose one base to it. So if you have like 50 followers on 50 monthly listeners on Spotify, and they have about the same, it's like, all right, cool, we'll try doing a song together, or at least interacting with each other and supporting each other on social media platforms, because you will get some of that crossover. And that's something that I'm trying to employ a lot more this year. So there's a couple artists that have like one reached out to me and was like, hey, like I'd love to do a song with you, and we talked about it, and like guy's got a great voice, great songwriting. He's like more R&B pop, which like I dig. And then there's another artist who is more like indie folk, who's actually blowing up right now. And I've been telling him for a while, I'm like, it's only a matter of time until enough people hear your songs, and then they start telling their friends and their friends and their friends. But like he was at 1,500 monthly listeners in December, and he's at 11,000 now.
Yeah. And
yeah, he's gone. That's if you want more homework, Weatherhead is the name of that artist. So when you get to the THER, you drop the E. It's just THR. Everything else is spelled regular. And then yeah, so the other artist who's like more R&B or like soul influence is Paul Bill Jr. So I'm hoping to have a song or two with both of them this year, and I've got a couple things in the works already, so we'll see where that goes. But collaboration, be on social media and have, you know, 2 or 3 songs that you can actively push. That's what I'd say is the best thing you can do.
All right, where can people find you and your music, because I want to let you go. I've had you up per usual. Yeah. I get Brooks on the show and have him on for an hour and a half, and only 40 up is for listeners.
No, it's all good. I'm on all streaming platforms. Whether you listen on Spotify or Amazon, you know, YouTube, or you pick Deezer, Pandora, like whatever it is, like it's there. You just have to search Brooks of York, all one word, and it will be there.
Anything else you want to tell people? Again, God, you've been on here with Artemis twice, once with Wide Waters, and 3 times as yourself, twice as yourself. So 5 times, 6 times.
Yeah. It's been a few times.
You're just family now.
No, I'm happy to be here. My favorite color is purple. My favorite fruit to eat is apple, like on the daily. If I'm being fancy, definitely mango. And if I could sleep for 8 hours every night, I would be a happy person.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show, Brooks. We love having you.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Brent, feel better.
Brent, we love you.